Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Pastyatya Deshatarane Trinadapi Sunichena Taror Iva Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Hare Nama Hare Nama Hare Nama Eva Kivalam Galo Nastyeva 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 Gatir Anyata Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Bolo Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya I have been asked to speak on the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, Nature, the Enjoyer, and Consciousness. So nature, in the Bhagavad Gita, two natures are described. Material nature, spiritual nature. In chapter 7, it was clearly stated by Bhagavan that he is the controller and origin of both those natures. That is why he is God. God is the person who is the controller of all the natures. The enjoyer. The enjoyer is also can be described as either one or two. The real enjoyer is Bhagavan, God, Ishwara. He is the actual real enjoyer. Jiva, the living entity, is a imitator enjoyer. He's not really the enjoyer, but the jiva in imprisonment, in material confinement, thinks he's the enjoyer. He's not the enjoyer. He's the servant. He is actually prakriti, energy. And energy is always controlled and exploited and enjoyed by the purusha, the real enjoyer, God. But because the living entity in the material world thinks him or herself as the enjoyer, sometimes it is explained that jiva is the enjoyer. And then we have consciousness, the third item in this chapter today, consciousness. Consciousness is not material. That we learned in chapter 2, when Krishna spent 20 verses from verse 11 to verse number 30 in chapter 2, when Krishna began his teachings of Bhagavad Gita after Arjuna surrendered, when Arjuna said, Shishyastehaṁ śādimaṁ tvaṁ prapanam, when Arjuna said to Krishna, I am confused, now you please instruct me, now I am your disciple, I want you to tell me definitely what I should do. That is where Bhagavad Gita actually begins, when Arjuna stops complaining, when Arjuna stops lamenting and asks Krishna to be his guru. Then Krishna begins the first lesson of transcendental knowledge, the difference between the body and the soul. This is the beginning of transcendental knowledge, to understand that there is a difference between body and soul, between the mind and the soul. Mind is also material. And consciousness is the symptom of the presence of the soul. Because when the soul leaves the body, there is no more consciousness. When we are alive, if Gadadhar now is alive, if I punch him, if I strike him, he feels it. And he may complain. He may say something. Stop, stop, stop. Because he's feeling it. But if Gadadhar dies and leaves this body, I can punch as much as I want. There'll be no sound. Why? Because the soul has gone. And we know the presence of the soul because there is consciousness. And that consciousness is throughout the whole body. In fact, in this chapter, Krishna will give a comparison. How many suns do you see in the sky? One sun. Krishna says, just as there's one sun illuminating the whole universe, one soul illuminates the whole body by consciousness. That's how powerful is soul. Soul gone from the body, no consciousness. We define something as dead matter because there is no consciousness there. But we learn from Vedas, there are 8,400,000 different kinds of bodies. And in those bodies, there is a soul, conscious. Of course, depending on the type of body, the soul's presence is more or less aware. In the human form or in demigod's form, the presence of the soul is more prominent. But in the presence of a tree, right? You can kick a tree. Does it say stop, stop? The presence of the soul is there in the tree, but because it has a tree body, the awareness of the soul inhabiting that tree is very little. In animals, more pronounced. You kick a dog, what does it do? Bah, bah, bah. Right? Or when the meat eaters kill cows, the cow is crying and screaming. Because in the body of a cow, the soul is more present. So depending on the type of body, the soul is allotted more in consciousness. Human form is the maximum form of, or a maximum amount of consciousness in a material body. Better than them are the demigods who have super consciousness compared to human beings. So consciousness is the presence of the soul, and consciousness is not material. Therefore, the scientists can never create life. That is bogus propaganda. That is cheating. Even now, they have this new thing, cloning. That is another cheat. Because what they're doing, they're taking a living thing already. They're not creating life. Only God creates life, not science. So always keep in mind, soul consciousness is not material, cannot be created by a bunch of chemicals. His guru, Gadadhar's guru, back in the 70s, when his guru was a student, in college, he was Prabhupada's disciple. He attended one lecture, and the big, big cheating professor, his name was Dr. Frog, he was propounding that actually life is a bunch of chemicals that you can purchase for 36 cents. So his guru immediately raised his hand. So if I give you these chemicals, can you produce life? Not yet. Not now. Cheating, bluffing, saying big, big things, but when it comes down to doing it, no show. Like our representatives in the government. Big talk, but when it comes time to actually do something, they're nowhere to be found. They go on vacation. Or they stall and stall and stall. So, chapter 13, Nature, the Enjoyer, and Consciousness. If you're ready to proceed, please say, Shishi Radharaman Bhagavan Aki. One who understands the difference between the body, the soul, and the super soul beyond them both attains liberation from this material world. So if you can understand the difference between the body, the soul, and the super soul, you attain liberation. So you might want to really pick up your ears now and try to understand. Because if you understand, you get liberation. Who wants liberation? Who wants to come back and take birth again? Oh. Okay. Not me. I don't want to come back to this material world. We don't know who the president will be. And you don't know which country. Do you want to take birth in Iraq? Oh, but there's no guarantee. Yes. Yes, no guarantee. Better to go back to Godhead. Better proposal. Srila Prabhupada says, this is a purport, which is a gist of this 13th chapter. If you study Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, in every chapter there's one purport where he gives you the gist summary of the chapter. So here is the gist summary of this 13th chapter. The purport of this 13th chapter is that one should know the distinction between the body, the owner of the body, and the supersoul. One should recognize the process of liberation as described in verses 8 through 12. And we're going to go over that. We're going to go over that, the process of liberation. Then one can go to the supreme destination. So, Kakanaji, if somebody was to ask you, what is the supreme destination? What would you say? Go look. But you know what? We may ask somebody else. They'll say Las Vegas. Or they may say anything. But those who are advanced spiritually, they'll give what answer that Kakanaji gave. Goloka Vrindavan. Or do we have any Ram Bhaktas here? Anybody here is a Ram Bhakta? Oh, so Ram Bhakta would say, I want to go to Sri Ayodhya Loka, the planet where Sri Ram is there with Sita, Lakshman, Hanuman, Bharat, Shatrughna. He has his own planet. Right below Krishna Loka is Ayodhya Loka, spiritual planet. A faithful person should at first have some good association, hearing of God, and thus gradually become enlightened. If one accepts a spiritual master, one can learn to distinguish between matter and spirit, and that becomes the stepping stone for further spiritual realization. I was mentioning this in my last lecture here on a Sunday last month, that people, they get a trader. They get a physical trainer or a business trainer because they want to improve their body or their bank balance. So they get an expert. So why people are reluctant to get a spiritual trainer? That is bewildering. They'll get a trainer for everything else, but when it comes to, I don't need a trainer. Not very good. There are three kinds of spiritual trainers. I'm avoiding the G word on purpose. Gurus. Hey. So there's first trainer, Vartma Pradashaka, the one who shows you the path. Like Dhruva, his mother. Dhruva's mother showed Dhruva the path when Dhruva was 5 years old. His real mother said, well, many sages, they go to the forest and they search out God. And Dhruva's stepmother had offended him, insulted him, so he took the advice of his own mother. He went to the forest. There he met who? Narada Muni. Narada Muni initiated him, gave him mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasu. Within 6 months, God appeared to him. I've been chanting over 30 years. I'm still waiting. There's a difference between Dhruva's chanting and my chanting. 6 months, God appeared personally, not a vision, personally came to him, gave him the blessing. But Dhruva's mother was his Vartma Pradarshaka. He put him on the path. Then the next kind of spiritual trainer, Shiksha, one who gives you instruction what to do. Generally, usually, that Shiksha Guru later on becomes Diksha, who initiates you. That's what happened to Narada and Dhruva. Narada gave him instruction and also initiated him. So those are the three kinds of spiritual trainers. Vartma Pradarshaka, Shiksha, and Diksha. You should have at least one of those three in your life. At least one of those three. All right, let's continue. A spiritual master, by various instructions, teaches his students to get free from the material concept of life. Therefore, if your teacher is not teaching you how to get free from the material concept of life, you're cheating yourself. I've given the example hundreds of times. No matter what car dealership you go to, he's going to sell you that car. Right? He's not going to tell you, say you go to Toyota salesman, he's not going to tell you, yeah, go to Hyundai. Because especially nowadays, these guys are hungry. So when somebody comes on their lot, you buy that car. So if you go somewhere else, he's going to say the same thing, buy my car. So the buyer has to know, do his homework, due diligence, and know what's the best car. Similarly, the spiritual aspirant should do his homework and find the best spiritual trainer. So Prabhupada here is giving you the clue. Teaches the students how to get free from the material concept of life. For instance, in Bhagavad Gita, we find Krishna instructing Arjuna to free him from materialistic considerations. In other words, in chapter 1, in the beginning of chapter 2, what was Arjuna doing? He was lamenting. He didn't want to fight. He didn't want to kill his friends and relatives. And Krishna immediately pointed out, you're in the material concept of life. And what was the first thing Krishna spoke? You're not the body. You're not the mind. And that's where Bhagavad Gita begins. That's what a spiritual trainer does. Gets you off the material concept of life. One can understand that this body is matter. It can be analyzed with its 24 elements. This body is the gross manifestation, and the subtle manifestation is the mind and psychological effects, and the symptoms of life and the interaction of these features. But over and above this, there is soul. And then there is also super soul. The soul and the super soul are two. This material world is working by the conjunction of the soul and the 24 material elements. One who can see the constitution of the whole material manifestation as this combination of the soul and material elements and can also see the situation of the Supreme Soul becomes eligible for transfer to the spiritual world. These things are meant for contemplation and for realization. So contemplation means, how many of you are reading Bhagavad Gita every day? So when you read Bhagavad Gita, you should be thinking about it, trying to understand more and more. Realization is a gift from Krishna. Realization is not academic. Realization is something that Krishna gives you in your heart when he's satisfied. There's no, like you can say, formula. Realization is a gift. When Krishna is pleased, he gives you the understanding, the real, For my case, when I first started this philosophy, when at the age of 23, I was reading so many things in Gita and Bhagavatam. I didn't understand very much, but I had enough faith to continue. Then after some time, that's what that means. You read something and you go, I don't understand that. Then 6 months later, you're chanting or you're doing something, then bam, it becomes as clear as a bell. That's realization. That's realization. And one should have a complete understanding of this chapter with the help of the spiritual master. You will see, if you read Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, chapter after chapter, he hammers this point. You need a spiritual master. After all, isn't that what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita? Tadvadi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshana. He tells Arjuna, you want to understand? You need a self-realized soul. Okay. Are you ready to go further? All in favor say, Hari Bol. Now you will not believe it, but we were talking about you last night. I was in a program in Santa Clarita. She told you. And I told her, sometimes you come. And sure enough, here you are. Hari Bol. No, we were talking about how every year you have to do your Radha Bhajans at your daughter's house. You have to, every New Year's Day, she comes to her daughter's house. We do big Namahat program on New Year's Day. Every year, the final bhajan before Arti. Radha, right? She's famous for it. Don't ever stop. Never stop. No, Radha's blessing. Okay. Sri Sri Radha Raman Bhagavan Ki. Okay, so there are 35 verses in this 13th chapter. Oh, I forgot. Prabhupada writes, Bhagavad Gita, how many chapters? 18. Prabhupada says, there are three divisions. The first six chapters, middle six, final six. Prabhupada writes, middle six chapters, most confidential. Now we're in chapter 13, so we're starting the ending six chapters. So Prabhupada says these middle six chapters are protected by the first six, the last six. So in chapter 13, 35 verses, and in my analysis, I have broken it out into several subdivisions. Verses 1 through 7, the field and its knower. I'll give you a synopsis. So, in this first section, the word kshetra is used, Sanskrit word, means the field, like the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So, the field. So, Krishna explains, what is the field? It's the body. And who is the knower of this field, or the knower of the body, is the soul. So Your body is like a farmer. A farmer has his field, right? The farmer knows his field. And by knowing the potency of his field and knows where to grow certain things, he gets a good crop. So the soul is the owner or knower of his particular field, your own wonderful material body. Isn't it great? You like your material body? Yes, when you were young, you thought it was great. Now when you're in the 60s, you're thinking, oh, God. I didn't say that. Anyway, then Krishna says, so there's a knower of the field or knower of the body, that's the soul. But then Krishna distinguishes himself saying, but I am also the knower, not just of your body, all the bodies. That's the difference between God and us. Because, no offense, I don't want to know what's going on inside your body. I got enough problems with this one. Right? No offense. And you don't want to know what's going on in my body. Right? Trust me, you don't. So it's actually Krishna's blessing that we only know our own body. Krishna, being transcendental, says in this 13th chapter, I know everybody's body. That is why we cannot say we are in the same category as God. That's one big distinction between God and the soul. Some impersonalist preachers will tell you, no, no, they're one and the same. If that was true, then I would be a billionaire. I would know the stock market. I will know how everybody's playing. And I would, or if I was a gambler, right, I would know. And right? But I'm not. I'm not God. I'm not omniscient. So there is a difference between God and the soul. That's why in the summary, Prabhupada said, there are two knowers of the body. And the soul and the super soul are not equal. They're equal, yes, in this sense. They're spiritual, yes. That way, they're equal. But not in terms of potency. Potency is big difference in potency. Right? This Krishna, when he was 7 years old, held up a hill for 7 days. Anybody here doing that lately? This Krishna, at the age of 8, expanded himself into thousands of forms to dance with the gopis. Anybody doing that lately? So there's a big difference between the potency of God and the potency of me and you, little jiva. So that is the basic teaching of these first 7 verses in chapter 13. That there's a body or a field, there's an individual knower, you, and then there's a master knower. Prabhupada gives a nice analogy. Like I live in an apartment complex, there are over 400 units. Okay? So I know my apartment. But the manager of the apartment knows all the units. He knows what's going on. Or if you want to use the analogy of the actual field. So the individual farmer knows his field, but the governor or the king knows everybody's property. There's a difference. So that's what's explained. Then in verses 8 through 12, the process of knowledge. Would you like to hear that section, the process of knowledge? All right, because it is interesting. So I didn't do the tally, but there's quite a list. So the first item of knowledge, humility. That's the first item of knowledge. And Lord Chaitanya teaches us, you should be always humble and wear it around your neck. Trinadipi suniche na tororiba sahishnu na amani na manadena kirtaniya sadahari. For constant He said, you should wear this prayer around your neck for constant remembrance. So the first item of knowledge is humility. Then comes pridelessness. Then nonviolence. Then tolerance. Simplicity. Simplicity can also mean don't be like a politician, speaking one thing to him and a different thing. Straightforward, simple, no hidden agenda. Right? Our politicians need to read this. I'll tell you a story. When I was in Chile in March of this year, I gave a talk to a city council somewhere in Chile, outskirts of Santiago. So I was addressing all these city council members. And that was one of the main things I told these, that you are the representatives of the people. The most important thing you guys should do is tell the truth. And the whole place gave me an applause. Not the board, but everybody who was watching, they said, yeah. That's the most important thing. They have to tell the truth. Next item, approaching a bona fide spiritual master. Bona fide means in good faith. Bona fide means somebody who represents Krishna. Krishna is the original guru. So a bona fide guru represents Krishna. Simple. Next one. Cleanliness. Ha. There's a big item. Cleanliness. My mother, since I was a little child, my mother would always chastise me. Cleanliness is next to godliness all the time. Now, I'll give you an example why cleanliness is important. I know at times all of you go to some restaurant at some time or other, right? So here in California, they have a rating system. So if a restaurant has D, you going to go in there? C? B? Maybe. If you're that starving. But what rating are you looking for? A. Why? Why do they get that A rating? Because they're clean. They follow rules and regulations. And it's cleanliness. You have good faith that this food being prepared is done in a clean environment. B, C, or D, you don't know what you're going to be eating. And there are so many horror stories of what people are eating in these B, C, D restaurants. Things I can't even mention here in this temple room. I'm sure you've seen the same TV shows that I've seen, what some of these rascals do. But in a A rating restaurant, so temples should be super A rating clean. Super A. They have to be so clean. Prabhupada told us that in his temples, revolutionary clean. Altar, deity room, temple grounds, pujaris. There are two kinds of cleanliness. External, internal. External cleanliness, you don't. Like, Brahmins are supposed to take at least two baths every day. Sannyasis take three, minimum. Brahmins, minimum two baths every day. All right, external. Their clothes should be clean. Their living quarters, clean. Right? Then there's internal cleanliness. Internal cleanliness comes from remembrance of God. Internal cleanliness comes from following, someone even said it, you said it, rules and regulations. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating, no gambling. Minimum. And then always remembering God. That's internal cleanliness. One time, my Cindy friend from Panama. I can't remember, we were traveling somewhere together, and we found out there was a temple somewhere that we didn't know about. And when we went to this temple, it was done by some South Indian temple. And we were both amazed when we entered that temple, how clean it was. When you entered the temple, it was like, oh, you didn't want to move. It was so clean. So the atmosphere was so powerful. And we talked to the head priest, and we saw how he was acting and doing the puja. And my friend, my Cindy devotee friend, he said, I want to bring this and do this in Panama. And I said, yes, you can do, but it requires lots of work. Because to have this kind of, you say the word, pakka. You have to raise the consciousness of management, priest, and congregation. So, you have to ask yourself, this is your temple, yes or no? It's your temple, right? I'm just a visitor. Oh, you're very kind. So we have to ask ourselves, do we want A temple, B temple, C temple, or D class temple? But you have to demand that yourselves and from everyone. You have to insist that there is a very high A standard. And that requires sacrifice. That requires surrender. Not that, well, they'll do, but I don't have to do. No. Requires everyone's participation. So, you have to ask yourself, what kind of temple I want? Do I want a dham? Or do I want a community hall? This is the question you have to ask yourself. What kind of temple? Same way with your home. What kind of home do you want? Do you want a home where there is love and trust and respect? Or do you want a home where everyone says anything, does anything, and there's no rules, people can come and go whenever they... What kind of house do you want? I know Indian families, right? You want that the young people show respect, right? Right? You don't want the children just talking anything, answering back, right? You don't want that. In your homes, you require, you demand, hey, we're not acting like this in this house, right? Don't you? So the temple's the same way. So you have to ask yourself, what kind of temple do I want? And the goal should be a triple plus rating. Then you've created a dham. And everyone will notice, whoa. That's like last year when Gadadhar painted all the deities, right? Did you not notice the difference, right? I noticed it. How, whoa. It's like the deities came alive, right? So that was one little aspect. Now, on all levels, you bring up the standard. Bring it up, bring it up, bring it up. Then, when you come to the temple, you will feel clean. My experience in ISKCON Los Angeles, when I was the life membership director and vice president, Indian people from India, so many times they would say to me, Prabhuji, I've been to so many temples in India, Prabhuji. But when I come to your temple, something special here. Yes, because they have a very high standard. It's all that. That standard comes, Shri Shri Radha Raman Bhagavan Ki Jai, comes not only from management, and the pujaris, but it also comes from the congregation, that they also want to create Vaikuntha. This is, Prabhupada used to say, temples are embassies of the spiritual world. In the Bhagavatam, there is a description. Lord Brahma is speaking to the four Kumaras. Lord Brahma is telling the Kumaras his experience of when Narayan took him on a tour of a Vaikuntha planet. It's there in the Bhagavatam. Lord Brahma was given a personal tour of Vaikuntha by Lord Narayan. So Brahma is telling the four Kumaras that in the spiritual world, there is no dirt, no dust. You know, if you don't dust, ladies, after a few days, you don't, or a week, right? You see how the dust accumulates, right? In the spiritual world, there's no dust. Yet, the Lakshmis are dusting. There's no dirt, but you will see the Lakshmis cleaning. Why? They want some service. They want to do some. Now the ladies are thinking, what? I got to do cleaning in the spiritual world? I did enough in the material world. That's all right. It'll be ecstatic. But the cleaning, they want to do some service for Narayan. So cleanliness, we want to ask yourself, what kind of temple do I want? A triple, just like America, right? It's lost its credit rating, didn't it? It's gone down a notch, right? And they're saying now it's going to go down again soon, right? America used to have a triple plus rating. Now, it's gone down. So, it's up to, since you've included me, it's up to us. What kind of Vaikuntha I want? Is that all right? All in favor, say Hari Bol. Next item in knowledge, steadiness, self-control, renunciation of the objects of sense gratification, absence of false ego. What is false ego? False ego, again, first lesson of Bhagavad Gita, I think in terms of my body. That's false ego. False ego is, I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm American, I'm Hindu. This is false ego. Real ego is, I am God's child. That's real ego. That I am part and parcel of Krishna. That's real ego. Anything else is called false ego. It's a pretense. It's a temporary designation. But it's not the real thing. The perception of the evil of birth, death, old age, and disease. In other words, knowledge means to understand, I don't want to take birth again. I don't want to have to go through death again. Old age, I mean, anybody here like old age? Anybody asking for more disease? Anybody? Are you going to the doctor saying, could you make me more sick? No. Disease is an evil. So Krishna is saying these are the four, actually these are the real four problems of life. The real problems of life are these four. Birth, death, old age, and disease. Detachment. Next item of knowledge, detachment. Detachment is a coin with two sides. On one side of this coin of detachment is not being attached to anything in the material world. The other side of the coin is to be attached to Krishna. Both have to be there. You can't have a one-sided coin, can you? So therefore, detachment is a two-sided coin. Detached or disinterested from more and more and more material possessions and being attached to Krishna and serving Krishna. Freedom from entanglement with children, wife, home, and the rest. In other words, don't get entangled. There's nothing wrong with having a family, having a home, but don't become entangled. even-mindedness amid pleasant and unpleasant events. That's bound to happen in our lives. Sometimes we're up, sometimes we're down. All right, sometimes good things happen, but you remain undisturbed. Constant and unalloyed devotion to me. This is Krishna. This is an item of knowledge. Constant and unalloyed devotion to Krishna. Aspiring to live in a solitary place. In other words, this is a solitary place. This is a temple. This is a solitary place. The activities are restricted. The temple is not a place to do bingo. The temple is a place for spiritual activities. The activities are restricted. We don't want people coming in here with their radios blasting, do you? Right? That they bring in that loud boom box. Right? We allow music, but it's restricted. Detachment from the general mass of people, because the general mass of people are all fools and rascals. But this is not the general mass of people. These are devotees. Accepting the importance of self-realization. Yes, I was mentioning last night in one of my lectures, the symptom of Kali Yuga is that people are lazy when it comes to spiritual life. Lazy. So that's why Krishna is saying here, accepting the importance of self-realization. That is the beginning statement of the Vedanta Sutra. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. First statement. Now that you find yourself in a human birth, your main business is inquiry into spiritual life. That's your primary duty. So many people, they think, oh, let me become wealthy first, then I'll do spiritual life. Doesn't work that way. You have to make spiritual life your priority. Your material life will automatically fall into place. I made that decision at the age of 23. Now I'm 61. I do not regret that decision. And I would do it 100 times over. I live in a 2-bedroom apartment. I visit homes around the world, millionaire homes. But I say to myself, that's all right. I have Krishna. I have my spiritual life. And I have God brothers who are sons of multi-millionaires. And in 2 cases, I know both of them personally. Their fathers gave them a choice. If you stay with this Krishna, you're not going to inherit anything. And both of these Swami said to their father, go. They were given the choice. You can inherit millions. All you have to do is give up Krishna. Give up this chanting. Both of them said, no, I will not give up my chanting. They passed the test. That's the test. Accepting the importance of self-realization and a philosophical search for the absolute truth. It's a search. It's a journey. It's a safari. How many of you, any of you gone to South Africa? So in South Africa, they do these safaris, right? So there is a transcendental safari. That transcendental safari is, you're looking for Krishna. You're looking to discover your unique, special relationship with Krishna. It's there. It's there. Wouldn't you like to know what that is? Then you have to go on the safari. You have to read Bhagavad Gita daily. You have to chant the Maha Mantra daily. And you make your home a temple. And you read the science of searching for Krishna. It's all there. It's all there. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. All these I declare to be knowledge. And besides this, whatever there may be is ignorance. This is not me, this is Krishna. This Krishna, behind the curtain. He just said, this list that I made, this is knowledge. Anything else? Ignorance. Krishna can be very, very blunt, so to speak. Sometimes he's like, for instance, several times, what does Krishna say? I'm God. I am the Supreme. There's nobody above me. Pretty blunt. There's no wiggle room. That's what is stated in Bhagavad Gita. The words are very clear. Mattak parataram nanyat. Aham sarvasya prabhavo. And sarvadharman parityaja mamekam sharanam vraja. He also says, there are three gates leading to hell. Lust, anger, and greed. Some statements in Bhagavad Gita, there's no interpretation. Some sections you might be able to interpret. But Bhagavad Gita is very straightforward. So the conclusion is, the life you save is your own. You decide. Krishna, anyone who's read Bhagavad Gita, you know, and I've mentioned it hundreds of times, at the end, what does Krishna say to Arjuna? I've told you everything. You do what you like. Krishna's not forcing Arjuna, twisting his arm, surrender Arjuna, come on. He doesn't put a gun to his head. Krishna doesn't strap himself with dynamite. No. This is why I follow Bhagavad Gita. I wasn't born Hindu. But why do I follow Bhagavad Gita? Because Krishna deals with you like a gentleman. Appeals to your intelligence. Krishna says, here it is. I've explained it. Decide what you want to do. So the same way with you. In your own lives. As the temple. As a congregation. He's leaving it up to you what you want to do. The power is in your hands. So when you have to make a decision in your lives personally or as the temple, remember, Krishna is giving you freedom. And then after you make your choice, then you have, as we say in America, you make your bed, you lie. So, would you like a blessing? All right, fold your hands. My dear Lord Krishna, bless the congregation of Radharaman Temple. Remove all the obstacles. And may they be enlightened in their heart. And may they feel your presence in their heart. And may they individually and collectively make their lives a triple plus. If you like that, then chant with me. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare. It was an honor and a privilege to speak on Bhagavad Gita for you. Thank you very much. Advice. Advice. Who am I? I'm a